You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WBZH. I'm Mark Lundeen, and here's what's happening in Hayward today. Today is National Voter Registration Day. Just a reminder to check your voter registration status and make any updates if you've moved, or encourage family and friends to register as well. Go to the website myvote.wi.gov. Again, that's myvote.wi.gov to check your voter registration status for today, National Voter Registration Day. The Northwoods Community Food Shelf will be opening up at 10 o'clock this morning. They'll be at the Spider Lake Youth Center, located at 11255 Highway 77 here in Hayward, just north of the Hayward Hospital on the left-hand side. They got plenty of produce and lots of meats available. Everyone's encouraged to come get food from this program, regardless of your financial situation. Check it out, 10 o'clock at the Northwoods Community Food Shelf, located at the Spider Lake Youth Center in Hayward. HASEL is announcing that they have a board of directors meeting today at 11 o'clock. They will be meeting at the HASEL building, located at 15574 State Highway Road 77 in Suite 1. Again, the HASEL Charter School Board of Directors meeting today at 11 o'clock at the HASEL building in Hayward. There's a blood drive today by the American Legion Post in Cable at 11 o'clock until 5 this afternoon. The Cable American Legion is located at 43495 Trail Inn Road South in Cable. Again, a blood drive starting at 11 o'clock and going until 5 o'clock. It's a free recycling day for electronics today. This is the Sawyer County Clean Sweep for hazardous waste, medications, and electronics. Residents having expired or unwanted medications may bring those items to this Sawyer County event. Please leave the pills in their containers with the labels attached so they can identify the medications. Medical sharps, such as needles, will be in the red sharps container or thick-walled plastic detergent container or bleach bottles with a screw top. You can drop off any electronics as well, including TVs, computer, laptops, tablets, printers, phones, radios, cameras, VCRs and DVDs, game consoles, cords, toasters, coffee makers, blenders, hair dryers, electric toothbrushes, irons, power tools, lawn tools, and shop vacs. They're also taking hazardous waste such as oil-based paints, acrylic sprays, solvents, pesticides, fertilizers, corrosives, flammables, mercury, lead tackle and shot, old gasoline, antifreeze. For a complete list of all the things that you can be dropping off at the Sawyer County Fairgrounds, visit sawyercountygov.org and search for Clean Sweep. Again, that is today, 2 p.m. until 6 p.m. at the Sawyer County Fairgrounds. It is the Sawyer County Clean Sweep, free e-cycling, unwanted medications and sharps, and hazardous waste drop-off today. It's a big day, so make sure you do that before the winter comes. At 4 o'clock today, girls varsity golf for Spooner will be at the Luck Public Golf Course today, starting at 4 o'clock. Girls varsity golf for Spooner Schools, 4 o'clock at the Luck Public Golf Course. The Spooner Schools Cross Country Varsity Invite will be happening at the UW-ECBC campus at 4 o'clock. Again, Cross Country for Spooner Schools, 4 o'clock. The girls varsity golf for Hayward will be at the Ashland High School. There'll be multiple schools with that, but Hayward's going to be at the Ashland High School, 4 o'clock for their girls varsity golf. Boys varsity soccer, for Hayward will be away at the St. Croix Falls High School starting at 5 o'clock. Again, 5 o'clock, the boys varsity soccer team for Hayward Schools will be at St. Croix Falls High School. No Woman Left Behind, a women's mountain bike clinic, will be held at 5 until 7. This event is sponsored by the Riverbrook Bike and Ski Shop and will be held out at Mount Telmark. Join us that Tuesday evening for an event of camaraderie and other female mountain bike riders. Work on some skills or just ride. Meet in front of the Trek store of the Telmark at Mark Telmark Village. A demo, a bike if you'd like. Call for reservations with Riverbrook Bike, 715-634-0437. Again, No Woman Left Behind, a bike clinic out at Mount Telmark from 5 until 7 tonight. Celebrate Recovery is starting at 5:30, going till 8 o'clock at the Hayward Wesleyan Church. This is a faith-based recovery ministry helping people with their hurts, habits, and hang-ups. Again, Celebrate Recovery, happening at the Hayward Wesleyan Church, located at 10655 Nyman Avenue here in Hayward, starting at 5:30 until 6. The Northwoods Community Food Shelf will be open once again at 10 a.m. out at the Spider Lake Church Hayward campus, located at 11255 Highway 77 in Hayward, just past the Hayward Hospital. They have lots of great foods and meats available for anyone to get the food from the program, regardless of their financial situation. Again, the Northwoods Community Food Shelf will be at 10 o'clock until 3 at the Spider Lake Youth Center. You've been listening to WBZH Hayward Today, local report on mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything in the Hayward Lakes area, download the Civic Media app and click on WBZH in the station listings. Coming up after local news and information, Pat Kreitlow returns. I'm Mark Lundeen, and I'll be back here in 20 minutes on Buzz of the North. It's 6:59.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
All right, we've got more with Pat Kreitlow coming up here on the Buzz of the North. It is a Tuesday morning. That means it's a Greeple Tuesday morning. Joel here. Mr. Greg Gunderson.
Morning.
Happy Greeple to you, Mr. Gunderson.
Happy Greeple.
How about them charges, huh?
Double Monday night action was kind of odd. I was kind of in trouble because I was feeling pretty sleepy last night at about 8:30. I was like, we got a whole game left. And yeah. Well, I missed some of it.
Yeah, I don't think it was that great of a game. I didn't see much of it either. But
the Bucks-Texans?
No, the second one.
Oh, the
Chargers.
Oh, gotcha. You're looking at that highlight there. I thought you were talking about that one. No, the Chargers and Raiders. It sounds like the Chargers absolutely dominated Geno Smith. That game I have not seen highlights from, but I know that it's a lot of the reason my fantasy team has gotten squat done. I have Brock Bowers, one of the best tight ends in the league. He got like, I don't know, 6 or 8 points yesterday in a PPR league because they were just contained all day, and Geno Smith got nothing done.
I think a lot of fantasy football teams with Burrow going down and others already. A lot of injuries early in the season. But we're here to talk green and purple. Lust the Greeple Tuesday. The big news, I guess, of the early part of the week is the fact that the Vikings just can't stop going back to old quarterbacks. Oh, they just love the old quarterbacks.
Oh, absolutely. That's when Carson Wentz came in the offseason, I thought, yeah, we'll see him. We'll see him at least once. And it sounds like we might see him 3 or 4 times here in quick succession. I've heard him ruled. JJ's officially ruled out for this upcoming week. Yeah. But the words I heard were 3 to 4 weeks with a high ankle sprain. And that's a nasty one. Those ones can linger.
That is. I've had it before when I was just a tad bit younger. But McCarthy out, Carson Wentz in, and I'm fearing for the health of Mr. Carson Wentz, because if that offensive line does what they did last week, They might be carrying two Carson Wentzes off the field at some point during this game.
Or two halves of Carson Wentz off. It's just like, we need two stretchers for one Carson Wentz, please. That's a real issue. He had issues with that when he was under Doug Peterson in Philly. The offensive line was part of why his struggle started. And he's shown that he panics a little bit with a rush, at least in the past. Maybe he's grown out of that in his time as a backup these last few seasons.
Viking fans are hoping they'll go back to a time when Carson Wentz led the Eagles to, what, like an 11-1 start that one year?
Something like that.
When Foles took over
and
won it all.
Philly.
So that's the big story on the Viking side, is that young J.J. McCarthy is out. On the Packers side right now,
we are the big news.
Life is good. I mean, other than Reed being out, of course, for a long time, probably could return later in the season. All things are pretty shiny right now on the Packers side.
Indeed. I'm cherishing this. But we got to watch out, too, because week one, it's really apparent that there are people who are outliers. You know, I definitely thought that the Colts were hanging out there and they would get exposed this week. Well, turns out, might be eating crow over these next few weeks. That said, the Colts are still top of my list for undefeated teams right now who might not be soon. That said, hey, I might have to adjust my expectations. And we talked about this all offseason. When you ask me for season expectations, I don't like giving them before the season has begun. I don't like giving them as a, this is going to happen. I like giving them as a, this is what I currently expect, and hey, come back to me in 5 days minimum or 2 weeks maximum, because things are changing fast.
Yeah, and I think with the pickup, of course, of Micah Parsons, I think the season started exactly the way Packer fans were hoping when they got the news that Micah Parsons is going to be a Packer. They're like, oh boy, that defensive line could be really good, and it's true right now.
Yes,
it's really good.
It is. Well, we were so close. There was before Micah Parsons was there. You're looking at Rashawn Gary, and you're looking at Lucas Van Ness as our two premier pass rushers, and Van Ness wasn't getting much done. From there, our best pass rush was honestly often coming from the interior defensive line. People like Kenny Clark, or even, well, now it's Colby Wooden, but before it would have been TJ Slayton was getting pressure now and again. TJ was there to stop the run, and that's part of why we let him go. But since then, when you get Micah in there, you can take four B-plus guys and add one A-plus guy, and all of a sudden you've got one A-plus guy and five A guys behind him. It's just how it works, and I don't think anybody needs it explained, but I'm just goggling because I didn't get to see it happen with Reggie White. I've only ever heard the coaches talk about what Reggie did for his buddies. Well, now I'm watching Micah Parsons do it too. And by the way, last night, watching Netflix, before the first game started, after I got home from work, I was watching the Jerry Jones Netflix special, The Gambler and His Cowboys.
So the Jerry Jones rah-rah special?
Yes.
That's what they call it?
It was phenomenally well-painted for Jerry, though he does admit fault in it. It really, if you want to like Jerry Jones, go ahead and watch The Gambler and His Cowboys. But that was 100%, that was one of the things. And forgive me, I've now I'm just thinking about Jerry Jones because there's so much stuff that just kind of came out from that. But we'll have to chat about that later today, because that's a whole thing. That is absolutely a whole thing.
Yeah, we're in a pattern now of documentaries being made that the people that the documentary is made about, or their families, if they don't like them, they have a tendency to buy it out and put it in a safe somewhere. But this obviously was one that Jerry Jones fully endorsed, because, like you said, it was people that are close to the Cowboys say, yeah, nice documentary, but painted them in a pretty good light, probably.
Exactly. And I'm remembering why I brought that up now, because there was one moment really near the end of the eighth and last episode where he's going through and we've gone through all the past, and he's hugging current players after they went out last season to the Packers in the playoffs, of course. And there's one big moment where he hugs Micah Parsons and tells him, man, I know you did your best and I love you and we'll see you next year. And I leaned over to Rachel. I was like, no, he won't. He's hugging a Packer right now. And it was the last time Parsons was probably in a Cowboy uniform, if I had to guess.
Well, one thing you can't fault Jerry Jones on is his passion for being involved in the National Football League. I mean, that he has he admitted that from the very start. He got him. That was his life.
No, I'll admit, I'll treat the Cowboys differently in my mind, and it's because of a certain bias from hearing Jones tell it his way, which is not perfectly accurate, but Jimmy Johnson was there. The players were there. You know, like, they got a lot of voices, including the people who prosecuted Michael Irvin back in the day. It was, watch it for yourself.
Yeah. I may or may not. I'm not sure.
Well, I mean, to the listening audience, yeah. Don't let me tell you how to feel about it, because, yeah, it was really well made, high value, but yeah. It's for Jones by Jones.
All right. More football talk a little bit later on this hour. We'll delve a little bit more into that NFC North division, the Lions and Bears. More with Pat Kreitlow on the way next on the Buzz of the North here on a Greeple Tuesday morning with Joel and Gray on WBZ. More with Pat Kreitlow here on the Buzz of the North, about 7:52 here Tuesday morning. Joel and Gray, we talk a little football on Tuesday mornings. And we wanted to talk, just want to delve a little bit into the whole NFC North division. We talked earlier this hour about the Packers, obviously, and they're off to a great start. Put them in the Eagles 1-2 in the NFC right now. It's pretty safe to say, right?
Yeah, I would say.
Either way, I think because they're the champs, you probably, Eagles 1, Packers 2. Overall power rankings, Packers probably lingering 3-5, depending on what you,
yeah,
where you, what site you want to go to feel good about the start. But the Vikings at 1-1, Lions at 1-1, and the Bears at 0-2. And I'll admit, I was thinking after week one that maybe the demise of the Lions was sooner than we thought. And now I'm thinking that, well, maybe the demise of the Lions was not quite as imminent as I thought. They look pretty good against the Bears this past week.
They do. That said, the Bears are not necessarily a great example of a team. So that might have been a get-right game for the Lions. I think I'm going to judge them more on week three. You know, like, I would have judged them harshly for losing to the Lions, but the win means they're kind of break-even for me. You know, like, they don't get much credit for it. It was what had to happen for them to be, you know, anything. If the Lions started 0-2... Whoa. But like, look at the point for and point against column. You got the Bears putting up 45 points in two games so far, but giving up almost 80. Whereas the Lions are actually the highest scoring team in the NFC North right now. They're just second worst when it comes to points against. So it's their defense that's really struggling right now, and they're heating up. The Lions offense is heating up. We saw it last week, and they're finding places to pull those points from that they might not have expected. You got Isaac Tislan now, who's made unreal catches 2 weeks in a row. Cool. They've got a fourth receiver who they did not need. So, like, once they figure out how to use these pieces, and that might be next week, that's a new offensive coordinator. Ben Johnson, the Wizard himself, started 1-6. What's Morton going to do when he figures it out? Maybe not much. Maybe he's going to storm the barn, you know? Like, it's possible. They're 1-1 right now. So what, 16-1? Cool. Yeah. Do it. Go do it.
And Caleb Williams, I think, will be a decent NFL quarterback. He already is. But he's just not the type of quarterback who's going to light you up with his electrifying passes down the field. He provides a lot more than that. And right now the Bears, other than Caleb Williams, their offensive line is their defense is not good. So I just don't think Caleb Williams is good enough. He's not like a Herbert or the old days of Marino or somebody like that. That's just like, ooh, give him 2 seconds and he's going to find the guy down the field. He's going to beat you in other ways, running 10 yards here and there.
His decision-making holds me back a little bit on being too high on Caleb Williams, though. I read a draft profile of him before he entered the league because the Bears were looking at taking him first overall, or at least that's what the rumor was. And, one of the big things was that he will throw on the run when he doesn't have to, and he'll sometimes make bigger decisions than are required. You know, he'll go for the deep ball on a big shot when it's the beginning of that drive that's going to have to take a couple minutes, you know? And it was referred to as a hero ball mentality. And I thought, okay, well, you could say Patrick Mahomes has that, but it's more about if he's nailing those throws. They don't call it hero ball if you're winning the games. So I thought, maybe he can shake that loose. And somebody pointed out in a fan forum a couple days ago that of the 7 weaknesses listed in his draft profile, Caleb still displays 6 of them, like, all the time. And the one that he's gotten rid of is the super tendency towards checkdowns. He's a little more willing to throw the ball downfield, but that's come with some bad decision-making. And as was pointed out, over the first 2 weeks, Twice this second week, he missed Roma Dunze wide open deep down the seam, and that's the way that play is drawn up. If Rome breaks open on that play, and yes, I know quarterbacks have progressions. There will be guys who are open when they're not who the quarterback is looking at. That's why Mahomes doesn't throw it to every wide open guy, because that's not where he's looking. But this is at the point where Caleb should be in the progression. That man breaks open, and he's looking over here.
Yeah.
So why are you not following the play designed by Ben Johnson, your head coach? There's like three layers of what are you doing there.
Yeah.
That said, he does show some really incredible skills. The sideline throw to Rome the other day, it looked like the Jared Cook throw from Aaron Rodgers in Dallas a few years back, where it's like only those two in the sideline on the field.
Yeah. More with Pat Kreitlow coming up in a moment. But one final football thought here on a Tuesday morning is the progression of the field goal kicker in the NFL. I mean, all of a sudden we snapped our fingers and a 60-yard field goal isn't news anymore.
Yeah.
Is not news.
What happened to the – you remember when they moved the extra point back and all of a sudden everybody was missing everything?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was the only change they made. We're going to pull this extra point back 10 yards, and now we're missing not only extra points but field goals too. Well, I think it was partially because we happened to reach a bit of a bust in the kicker talent pool of the NFL. Kickers are unique. If there's not 32 good kickers in the country that we know about, you've got a lot of bad kickers in the NFL.
Well, and right now, any miss under 50 yards is a bad miss in the NFL. If it's a 48-yard field goal and it misses, there's almost a feeling of just like, well, you're not a very good kicker.
You remember the name Braden Narveson?
Yeah.
You remember Narv Dog from last year? Like, where were we? What happened this last 18 months?
And now we've had kicks over 60. We saw a 70-yard field goal in the preseason, and I pretty much can guarantee you before this season is over, I would, if I had to put a $20 bill on a Vegas bet, I would say we're going to see a 70-yard field goal in the regular season this year.
That 63-yarder was held for 40 years, that record. And then Matt Prater blew it out of the water with a 64-yarder, like, what, 10, 15 years ago. And since then, it's just been, all right, I've invented a new big gun. Let's see how big the boom goes.
And if you look at the original 60-yard field goal holder, a guy by the name of Tom Dempsey with the Saints, and if you compare the way he kicked with his half a foot and a straight on, just a pendulum swing, versus the way they kick now, you ask yourself, how the heck did Tom Dempsey ever get that ball to the uprights kicking that way?
Yeah,
it was amazing.
You know, that's Tom Dempsey was one of one, and rules changed near the end of his career to stop it from happening the way it did with him. But that's not why, you know, that record held. It's because Tom Dempsey earned that. That was, nobody was kicking that far.
Just the velocity swing of the foot is so much different now with the wide soccer style kick versus back then, where it was just like, just one big guy with a big thigh muscle what it was.
I'd have been on the wrong side of history. I'd have said straight on's the way.
Now you see little 130-pound guys coming in and kicking at 70 yards. It's amazing.
And the kickoff with no run-up and doink, gone.
All right, Mr. Gunderson, have a good Tuesday.
You too, Joel. Thanks.
Thank you for joining us on a Greeple Tuesday. We've got Pat Kreitlow standing by next with more on a Tuesday morning here on the Buzz of the North. It is 7:59.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WBZH. I'm Mark Lundeen, and here's what's happening in Hayward today. I'm talking today with Heather Ledzik of the Cable Area Chamber of Commerce. Good morning.
Good morning, Mark. How are you today?
I'm doing good. We're looking forward to fall.
Good.
And we're going to be talking about your fall festival coming up September 26th and the 27th, right downtown Cable Area. Tell me all about it. How do things start off on the 26th, Friday night at 4 o'clock? What's going on?
Yes, this is our 23rd Fall Fest, and on Friday night we have a street dance, and so we have a big tent set up behind the chamber.
Okay.
We have live music. Nick Kuka will be, he's a local favorite, and he will be performing starting at 5 till 7, and then we have the Whitecaps playing until 10:30 that night, and the Whitecaps are just awesome. They play just about anything, and Super, super fun. We had them last year and people just loved them.
Yeah.
So we'll have food trucks. So we've got about 10 food trucks signed up right now. So there'll be a variety of carnival food that you can eat. We'll have a beer and wine tent. We'll have some street games and things to do. We'll have a pie eating contest.
Ooh.
And a bake sale.
What kind of pies?
The pie eating contest. You know, I haven't decided yet what the pies will be for the pie eating contest.
Is it the contestant
choice? Last year we had a variety.
Contestant choice on the pie?
Well, we did that last year, but I'm not sure that was fair because, you know, so I think we may have to just go with a standard pie. That is one of our new Friday night traditions. We're really excited. We'll have Angry Minnow beer, which everybody loves.
Yep.
We'll have a 50-50 raffle. And then, like I said, we'll have some events out on the street for fun. We'll have some fire pits and we'll probably have beer pong and cornhole, but
okay.
That is just our Friday night kickoff for Fall Fest.
Yep.
So we're hoping people can come and join us. We hope for good weather, of course, but,
yep.
You know, we're going rain or shine. That's for sure.
Everything continues then on Saturday, September 27th. What time does that open? Well, it looks like you start off with a pancake breakfast.
Yes, we do a pumpkin pecan pancake breakfast. That starts at 7:30, and that's at our Cable Community Center, which is just a couple blocks off of the main drag in,
okay.
in Cable.
Yeah.
The other festivities on Main Street and right in the center of town start at 9 a.m. We have our street craft vendors, artists, all sorts of things. Last year we had 85 vendors on the streets of Cable,
wow.
which was just
yeah.
the biggest ever. And, you know, we've outgrown almost our space. We've got to get creative this year
sure.
on how we're going to arrange that. But we had, I think, 15 food vendors, and we had everything from candles to woodworkers to clothing to bake sales. And we even had one of our churches do a mother's booth where, or you could call it a parent's booth, where if you have a baby that needs to be changed and needs a little nap or to rest,
yes.
or mothers that need to feed their
mm-hmm.
children, they can go into this little quiet area and relax and have a place to sit.
What a good idea.
Yeah, that's been a really nice thing. So we also have a car show, a classic car show.
I saw
and
that.
I mean, it's
yeah.
cars, trucks, motorcycles. Yes, and we usually have about 70 to 80
wow.
participants.
Okay.
We have 10 categories. That is just really fun. We have a kids' choice where the kids get to vote on their favorite. That goes from 10 to 2. We also will have bounce houses. Bounce houses and kids' activities out on the lawn. We've got a giant New Holland inflatable tractor for them to slide on. We also have
yeah.
someone this year that's going to come and give hay rides, which will be really, really fun.
Sure.
So,
that'll be fun.
And of course, can't really forget the music that we'll have on Saturday. On Saturday, we start off the day with the world famous Sean and Ian,
yes.
everybody's favorite.
Yep.
Yes, Sean and Ian will be playing from 10 to 1, right at the chamber. And from 1 to 4, we have a band called The Whiskey Chase. And they are going to come for the afternoon of Saturday for Fall Fest.
Okay.
We're really, really excited to have them.
I see in here you have a youth entrepreneur market. Now, that's very interesting. What is that about?
Yeah, this was an idea that was brought to us by the Bayfield County Economic Development Corporation, and their former director, Cole Rabska, had seen this youth entrepreneur market when he was out west on a hunting trip. And basically what it is it gives kids that are not like established business owners, or they're just really interested, or they make a craft, or they make something that they think, you know, I think I would like to have my own business someday and
right.
sell a product. So they get a chance to have a free booth, and they get to sell and learn what it's like to be an entrepreneur make their products and sell them. This is just for little kids. I mean, kids under the age of 16
okay.
who are just getting started in
right.
this field. So,
yeah.
It gives them an opportunity to get their feet wet in the field, and see what it's all about to have their own business.
Very cool. Well, Heather, thank you for chatting with us. We're talking about the Cable Area Fall Festival coming up September 26th and the 27th. If you want more information about it, where can people go to find more information, Heather?
Well, you can go to our website, which is cable4fun.com. That's cable4fun.com. And right on the top right corner, you'll see a 23rd Annual Cable Fall Fest Countdown Calendar. You can click on that, and we have all of our sponsors and the schedule of events and all the times and locations.
All right. Very cool. Well, Heather, thanks for chatting with me today. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you for having me.
You've been listening to WBZH Hayward Today, local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in the Hayward Lakes area, download the Civic Media app and click on WBZH in the radio station listings. Coming up after local news and information, Pat Kreitlow returns. I'm Mark Lundeen, and I'll be back with more Hayward area information tomorrow morning. It's 8:29.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.